Kaselatish lakamwasili, posdanyo lo manivisti galeanto, nisalakashto, nika solate, niko solate, avario.
And I'm the God who will supply all your need. I'm the God who knows. Who knows what you need, want, and desire. And many times your way gets clouded. But my way is not clouded. I can see. I can look into your heart. I can fulfill those desires within you, those cravings. Yes. Yes. I'm the one. Hallelujah. You call on me. You look to me. Oh, and you're always going to be full. Full, full, and more full. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus'
you
name.
May be seated.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to go back to our teaching we started last week, and I titled it The Power of Confession, because confession is a hugely powerful thing. As if you understand the subject, we're going to look at different things as we go along in this teaching, because when a man or woman or whoever is able to hook their mouth with their spirit, it's a hugely powerful thing. We need to understand this. This is how we bring things to pass from the spirit realm. But you need to know this. This can be good or bad. You know, you get wrong things in your spirit and you confess them and you say them. You can bring wrong things to pass. And, you know, we really need to know in our society, one of the things that we don't have, our big thing today is about, well, it's freedom of speech, but there's more bad speech than good speech. Much more. And so we go like with our media, has not become a thing anymore that informs us about things. It's a very critical thing. I mean, both sides, you know, are the same way. It's a constantly finding fault kind of thing and that stuff. People who are either not saved or are carnal Christians love that. They love it. They love following after it. The flesh likes this stuff. This is why you got to learn to bring your flesh under. One of the ways you bring your flesh under is by your voice. If your flesh is out of hand, it's because your mouth's out of hand.
Amen. Preach.
You're saying wrong things. You're believing wrong things, saying wrong things. And so to bring the flesh under, one thing as I learned over the years, I had to start bringing my mouth into order. And this is one of the things is why it's so important to get in the Word of God. If you get in the Word of God, you start quoting it, getting it to where after a while, that's really what's in your heart and you're believing and you're starting to say that. You can bring your flesh under control. You got to learn to guard yourself just like, you know, if you want to guard yourself, if you want to, you know, change something about your physique or something or like that, you got to change yourself just like you have to change yourself on how you would eat. Say if you want to do something, you want to lose weight, you're going to have to change those things. And so you have to decide. They're not going to happen. I know today, well, let's take the great diet pill. Let's take the pill. And that pill does have 75 different side effects. And I'm just going to tell you this. If we can't, by the power of God given to us in our own spirits, bring things under control, you're not going to bring all them side effects under control. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do that. See, people need to understand these things. This is why it's important to understand the power of this stuff works. It's like we've had, I know, just from doctor standpoint, I know people are, turn around and they give them medication. And medication, the person gets a side effect, they go back to the doctor. And the doctor turns around and treats them for another thing. He gives them another medication, which that is for to treat the side effect that was given to that medication. Well, then they come up with another one. Now, I've been around people already, and this is no, I've been around people 10, 15 medications are taken. And I will guarantee you probably half of those medications have side effects because of they're taking medications for side effects. That's what they're doing. Doctors don't diagnose anymore. They treat symptoms. This is why you watch what you say to a doctor when you go in. You don't tell them every little thing because they'll try to treat you for every little thing you said. They're going to give you something for that, every little thing. You know, just because I feel tired in the morning. Well, maybe you need to get more sleep or you need a better diet. You don't need another pill. You know, I don't sleep good. Well, God gives His beloved rest.
That's right. Amen.
What's wrong with you? See, read the Bible. I know this seems hard to people, but I'm going to tell you, we're in a messed up world. And people are just messed up as crazy. And we're supposed to have, us Christians, we're the ones supposed to have good life, be at peace and rest and all that kind of stuff. We're this group. No matter how much I believe out of this Bible, if I can't get it working, who gives a rip?
Amen.
It don't mean, I know. You ain't got any proof. If it don't work, you ain't got any proof it's true.
Amen.
You have no proof it's true. We prove it's true. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We believe it, act upon it. Hallelujah. God's not going to let me hanging out there. I'm standing on His Word. He's not going to let me hanging out there. He's not going to do that.
Amen.
It's not the way He operates. You know, we sing these songs about how wonderful He is. Is He? Is He that wonderful? Is Jesus all I need? No, about 47 other things too. We're going to look at these things, and this is important because a lot of this all ties to people's confession, what we say. It is hard to really control your beliefs and things you believe if the mouth is not controlled. If the mouth is not controlled, it's really hard because faith comes by hearing, whether it's the Word of God or whatever else you hear. Number one, you hear more of you than you do any. Now, you might come here and listen to me teach in the morning, but you could listen to you all week. And if things ain't working, you're the wrong preacher. Something's wrong with you, preacher.
Amen.
See, I preach to me all week. I do. I preach to me all week.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I go out, you know, I get up in the morning and I go out and I either run or walk or do something. I go out in the morning. And you know what I do? I talk to me when I do it.
Amen.
Talk to me. See, I talk to me about what I want to do, where I'm going to have, what I believe. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I talk to me. And you got to learn to do that. Because, you know, during the day, you're going to hear a lot of things and a lot of things that you didn't want to hear, you didn't want to know. But, you know, you're putting the things in you and you have that opportunity of what you need to hear and you want to hear. You say, I want to hear good things. Well, are you saying the good things? are you saying the good things that you want to hear? And we want to look at it. We're talking here as a confession. Now, last week we looked about the confession of sin concerning the Old Testament, which the church has picked up and uses it. And we're not going to go back over and read it, but we look at the ministry of John the Baptist and what they were doing preparing to come to Christ. Their confession of sin and baptism is not New Testament baptism. Today we have you people, you need to understand this. The gospel that you preach to people and you tell them, 10 to 1, that's what they're going to walk off in life and believe. You may set them on a wrong course for the rest of their life because of your lack of knowledge of the Bible. When you bring a people, you got to confess their sin to get saved. I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. They're going to go in life in sin, and they're going to have a hard time getting over it. Because, you know, I didn't confess my sin to get saved. And, you know, they think that they got saved because, you know, they went through the confession of sin thing and all. Yeah. That isn't how I got saved. I got saved by the goodness of God.
Amen.
I got saved because Jesus did something about Ed's sin. Ed
yes.
didn't. I did nothing about my sin. I didn't do a darn thing about it. But see, we don't preach the gospel to people. We preach sin consciousness to people.
Yep.
That's what we do. We preach sin consciousness so the rest of their Christian life, they can walk around being pretty much a failure.
Mm.
They don't know if God likes them or not. They're not quite sure. Everybody's trying to... You know why I want to please God? Because He's good to me no matter
Amen.
How I do. He's always downright good to me.
Amen.
I'm not trying to keep Him happy. He ain't losing no sleep. We're not trying to keep God happy.
I'm
going to find that out today. We're going to look because we talked about it. We looked in and Jesus said, we looked in with the thing with Nicodemus. Jesus told what a person needed. They needed to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, when we're preaching to people, we're confessing words. See, you keep confessing the wrong thing when you even preach to people. You're just fortifying your unbelief. If you're preaching wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're fortifying your unbelief. You know, because you people today, they say, well, you need to ask Jesus into your heart to be saved. That's totally unscriptural. A person who is dead spiritually, Jesus ain't coming into their heart. Their heart must be changed. They must be born again. They don't have to ask Jesus to come into their heart. The Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost will move right in. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and live with you. He didn't say, ask me to come and live with you.
No.
He can't come and live with a dead spirit.
That's right.
To ask somebody to have Jesus come into their heart, into their dead spirit, it ain't ever happening. It's not scriptural. See, you set people on the right road. You set people to become spiritually conscious. See, we turn and ask Jesus in your heart. Isn't that really miraculous? No, I'm still the unchanged idiot with Jesus in me. And boy, don't we have a lot, there's a lot of people today think they're saved, think Jesus is in them, and they're still the same old dead idiot. And they don't know it. And they've been preached it to by other idiots. Telling people this stuff, it ain't true. You get changed. You need change. I needed change. This is why we have so many people today so made confessions of Christ, don't even have anything to do with Christ, never have had anything to do with Him. They went through the confession thing and they just out living their sinful lives. Why? They never got saved. Well, Jesus is in my heart. Yeah, well, prove that one. My life changed. I have proof God's in me.
Amen.
My life changed.
Amen.
They have nothing, no proof. This is why people walk around, you know, it's all just blowing wind and talk about Jesus in me. No change. There's proof of change. When I got born again, there was proof of change. There was so much proof that my wife said, man, something happened to you.
Hallelujah.
You're not the same guy anymore.
Hallelujah.
There's loads of Christians I can walk up to and say, you know what? Nothing ever happened to you. What's wrong?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They say they're Christians.
Amen.
Why hasn't nothing happened to you?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
I'm sorry. God don't come and get in something and nothing happens. You know, you can't notice it.
Uh-huh. Amen.
God's very noticeable in my life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, my personal life with health and everything, there's a change. There was a change when I came to everything about it.
Amen.
It changed.
Amen.
It's not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I believe in a miraculous miracle salvation. I believe in you actually become a new creation. We're going to talk about that. But Jesus told Nicodemus that man needed to be born again. And the way they did, he said, you got to believe on me. He didn't say, no, you got to ask Jesus in my heart. He said, you got to believe on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the salvation. You got to believe on me. Well, we're going to find out things you need to believe. What do you need to believe? He says, to believe on Jesus. What do you need to believe? What is our gospel? What are we telling people? These are our confessions to people, but we need to understand this. If we're going to walk in it, we can't have this wrong thought about our basis of our salvation and live on any kind of successful Christian life. It ain't going to happen. This is why Christians today, you ask them, what did they do to get saved? They don't know what they did to get saved. They can't even tell you because they ain't ever had much of a change of anything in their life.
Amen.
Man, I can tell you where I've come from and where I'm going to. I know it's, I don't need to sit in a class.
Amen.
I've experienced it.
Amen.
You know? I can tell it by experience.
Amen.
God working in us. But I want us to look this morning because we're going over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, because we want to look at something that's absolutely, we have a gospel that is supernatural and it must be preached in this manner. Knock off this junk about forgiveness of sin all the time and get around to the changed life, the miraculous changed life you're about to have.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You need to preach to people that the sin thing's been taken care of.
Amen.
We need to get around to this because this, we got to get bold about this stuff.
Amen. See that?
Because people, you know, we want to lead people into a supernaturally changed life. And it's only, God's the only one who can bring this thing.
Amen.
And we're going to have to follow His plan. Now, we've all heard these scriptures, but we want to really look at them today. In 2 Corinthians 5th chapter verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. King James says creature, however you want to say it. You could say it as a new being. He said, all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. So if anybody's in Christ, you are a new creation. Now, that should just grab us in itself. Am I as a new creation? Am I a new creation? Am I changed? If I become something new, then there's something changed. I'm a new creation. You need to understand this. You are something that you never were before. You have become something that's totally different.
Amen.
This is what you are. See, you need to understand that today, you're still the new creation. We need to get on this thing. You know, when I got born again in January 1980, my new creation spirit hasn't aged 1 second. It's renewed every day. It's renewed. We talk about renewing every morning, but that's more or less to say for us, we understand about time. But when it comes down to this, it's unaging. Doesn't age. God doesn't age. He's not an old man with a beard sitting on a throne somewhere. You know, that's people's ideas. And our spirit being has not aged. It's eternal. How could it age if it's eternal? You might say age in time, but it doesn't change, no change in life. It's no change in it. Now you can have an effect on it from this day. Don't feed on the Word of God and your spirit becomes weak.
Amen. Preach.
Your strength is your, look, your Word of God is your food. Jesus said you don't live by bread alone. That means, if you're eating three meals a day, you ought to be going to the Bible at least three meals a day. Well, would you see? Like people don't think about their spirit man. They don't think about their inner man like they think about the outer man. See, our society is focused a lot on the outside. You know, it's a lot on the outer man, trying to do all this stuff with the outer guy. You know, we want him to live longer, and I want to get this thing over and go to heaven. That's what I want to do. I can understand Paul saying, I'd be with Christ, you know. I've been down here about as long as I want. That's what he said. I want to leave. But because of you heathens, I'm staying. That's what he said. That's what he said. Say, Paul, I'm glad you stayed. Glad you stayed, Paul. But see, you need to get thinking. You know, I want to depart. You know, the more I walk with Christ, the more I want to be with Him. Amen. I don't understand Christians that don't. I can't understand the clingy Christians of this earth. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Because this I know. They ain't growing up.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't have to want to see Jesus come back. It is just natural in my growth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's natural within my growth. Mm-hmm. It's just natural to do that. You know? Just like you plan something here in the natural on the earth that you're really excited about doing. You just get more excited as time comes. You're going, oh my God, we're going to soon have to go on that vacation, aren't I? I sort of want to stay here, really, and I'd like to work some extra hours, but I have to go on that vacation. This is Christians in their life with Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus, but I would sure spend more time here with some people, you know, I really like you and I really want to be with you, but there's... No, the more you get to walk over in Him, the more the reality of Him.
Wow.
My God. For the Lord is good and His mercies endures forever.
Hallelujah.
I'm just going to imagine the day comes to face to face.
Amen.
Wow. What a day. There used to be an old church song. It used to be, what a day that will be when Jesus I will see, when I look upon His face and the wonders of His grace. My God! I'm going to get a busload together today. we got to go. But I want you to get in. You're a new creation. This is what you are.
Amen.
So you need to talk that. I've said before, it's one of the things that I learned from Kenneth Hagin when I first got born again, listening to him, teaching him, when he talked about he first got born again, that's what he told everybody, I'm a new creation. I'm not the same guy I was. I'm not the same. See, we ought to let people know. See, the church has gotten over in this thing today. We're trying to be what people want us to be.
Preach.
To reach them. And all it is the devil in us.
Preach.
And our fleshly desires to get people to like us.
Mm-hmm. Preach. That's true.
And so we don't realize this. The power of God changes people, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you got is some flaky message, you ain't got no power.
Amen. Come on.
The Word of God is what's alive.
Hallelujah.
It's alive. And we got to treat it with life. Treat it from that standpoint. Amen. We're not trying to get people to like us.
Amen.
It's my words. They hear the truth and God witnesses the truth. Don't worry. I want them hooked up with God. They'll get along with you all right if they get hooked up with God. But he says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. You know, old things have passed away. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. Well, is the things that have passed away or the things of the past? This is about becoming a new creation. This new creation. See, there should be a change about old things of the past. I shouldn't be running in all the desires that I've had before.
Come on.
See, we tell this. How would you, you know, you have desires, like with me, but one of my big things was because of my drinking. And I found out I got saved, that passed away.
Hallelujah.
See, this is one of the things that I know this, these 12-step programs that they do, they aren't going running by the Word of God. Because they don't have a power to break that in a person. The person still has it. And the reason a person can be born again and still have that bondage. And you know why? Because then nobody ever tells them they're free. No, you're always bound. No, you're free.
Hallelujah.
I want you to understand about this. There is nobody who comes to Christ who is not free immediately of every habit or anything that they have.
Amen.
You're immediately free.
Amen.
You know why people aren't free? Because they ain't told they're free. I know this from the fact it's free because I want you to think about it, just being drinking alone. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, Paul wrote about people you do as Christians, if they do certain things, you don't even hang around with them. He said if a Christian's a drunkard, you don't even as much as eat with them. He didn't say, well, you make a program for them and try to get them off of. Why? Why would Paul say that? Why? Because that person has the power in themselves to quit immediately if they'll believe the truth. We don't believe that nor preach that today.
Amen.
I got saved and the Lord said to me, do you notice you don't have to drink anymore? See, I was set free immediately.
Amen.
I was completely free immediately. Now, I had to do it. I could accept that truth or not.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, the average person will come to Christ today and the average Christian, if they're bound in something, they're going to be bound in it most of their life because of the lousy preaching today. You're free. Paul's expectation is that person needs to quit now.
Amen.
You know, if a person quit adultery, what, do they just try to slowly get off of it? They only commit adultery 2 times a week instead of 3? They have the power to quit.
Amen.
You have the power to bring it. You have it. If the right things are preached,
amen,
saying, no, you stop that. You have the ability to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to? It's just like anything. If a person don't really want to, you can pray for them night and day and do whatever, lay hands on their empty head all you want.
Right.
It ain't going to change anything.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Preach. Great.
See, our gospel is greater. We preach a weak gospel today. It's not the one in the Bible.
Amen.
We don't preach the freedom of people getting delivered.
Mm.
Drug addicts getting delivered.
Amen.
When I come into the kingdom, there was a gospel preached. Drug addicts would get off of drugs just like
Amen.
That. Now that we got to put them all in programs today. Now we got to run them in all the Christian programs and all the programs they're running through. Trying to get these people off of stuff instead of telling them you're free. Get them talking all the time that they're free.
Amen.
Sit down and quit talking to them about their problems all the time. And oh, you're you know, because I have this. Oh man, I tell you what, I keep wanting to do this. Why don't you talk differently? Say, you know what?
Amen.
The real me don't want to do none of that.
Woo!
That's my flesh ain't me.
Powerful preaching.
We're talking about confession. We have lousy confession in the church. And even in the Bible schools are lousy confession today. I like the thing when I started off, man, you talk what's right. You said what was right. This is what the Bible says about you. And if you say any different, people will call you out.
Amen.
See, not today. We don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. We love them bound. Then we can have a so-called ministry that God never created. We did. We have so many men-created ministries today. It's incredible. America puts billions of dollars into men-created ministries.
Come on.
Trying to deliver the delivered.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Great.
I'd cause trouble, I'll
Amen.
Tell you.
Fired up.
But I don't bring the people, they don't know. They're told they're bound.
Amen.
You get I get letters from ministries like everybody's bound all the time. Oh, you're going through these great difficulties. And I know you as a minister, you're having all these troubles. And I think, my God, I'll cast that devil out of you. You come to my church. Dear Lord.
Woo!
Whom the Son set free is free indeed. And if I'm not
Amen.
Living in it, there's something wrong with Ed.
Amen. Come on.
Ed needs to change.
Amen.
Jesus' word, what he did worked or it don't. Now, we got to decide this. Is this true?
Amen.
See, when you decide it's true, we have a gospel that's so powerful.
Hallelujah.
Do you know why many people follow cults? Because they preach extreme things. You know why we have trouble getting people in the church? Because we have this weak, weak, little weenie gospel.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on.
I'm going to tell you. People want something that's great. They want something. They want an explosion. They don't want another little candle to carry. Let's have a candlelight service. No, let's get out the dynamite and blow this place up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I get wound up today. Yeah, I meditate on this stuff all week, and I'm meditating on it. And I done preached this 40 times. And it's like, my God, God is so good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now listen to what he said. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God. What are these all things of God? It's the things he's talking about. This things where you're a new creation. This is the new stuff. This is the stuff that's of God.
Amen.
See, if you don't have this, you don't have the stuff of God.
Amen. Come on.
This is the stuff of God. This is what Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. You got to be born again. You got to get this thing of God. That's what you have to have.
Amen.
You don't need another law. You need another life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what changes you. That's what I didn't need another rule given to me.
Amen.
Because I tell you what, that dead man couldn't follow a rule for nothing.
Amen.
He was
praise
worthless.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But the new man, he's totally different.
Thank you, Jesus.
He wants to follow the Word of God. He
Amen.
Wants to do the will. It's his desire Amen. Is in him. Hallelujah. Why? How did he get that way? God made him that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was made that way. Glory to God. How is it? Now listen to this. Now all things of God. Now it says, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, God says, God, who, what this God? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now that word reconcile means to change, to reestablish, restore. But I like this here. It's removing an enmity. In other words, that enmity is typically a mutual hatred or ill will.
Mm-hmm.
That's been removed. Now I want you to get this. God has no ill will toward the sinner. None.
Amen.
We have our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. God has reconciled himself to man. That is a done deal. Confessing your sin does not reconcile you to nothing. Because you could not get saved confessing your sin. God reconciled the whole world. Everybody today in this earth, there's not one human being God is not reconciled to.
That's right.
There is not one that God didn't already take your sin.
Amen.
He's reconciled to everybody. He is holding no ill will against anyone. Now we know this, the church don't believe that. I mean, you get the Christians. I mean, they're mad at everybody. You know, if anybody does something against Trump, the conservatives are mad about it. Anybody does something on the other side, you know, and that stuff, we're mad at them about it. Why? Holding ill will. God's not. God, there isn't. Look, God is not looking any of the sinners out here, and he's bugged about the sin they're doing. Other than the fact he wants them saved.
That's right.
But God is reconciled to them.
Amen.
He's not holding their sin against them. We're going to find out. It tells us. There's this and we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, not the message of forgiveness. Reconciliation. You know what? You know what? He's like, here's the average Christian. Well, you know, that's almost a license to sin. You don't give people a license to sin. They'll do it whether you give them a license or not.
That's right.
People just sin. But the whole thing of it is, we would hide, I'm serious, Christians, I've heard ministers deliberately say they wouldn't say certain things even though they know it's true in the Bible because people get the wrong idea about God. They think they got a whole weight over people's heads. I've heard spirit-filled ministers say that. You almost want to slap them. Say, what is wrong with you? Because we get deep-seated in works. We're so deep-seated in works. And we got to control. I'm going to tell you, God can't control the church. Don't ask Ed. If God ain't big enough, if God can't do it, who can? God's not holding sin against. Think about this. God's not holding it against you. You know what sin does? We'll talk because we'll eventually go on to dealing with it. The Christian and confess sin. But it isn't what it does to God. It's what it does to you.
That's right.
It's not about God. He's willing to forgive somebody a drop of a hat. He ain't nervous at all. It's not about him. It's about us. It's about what hurts us. You know, I found out lots of times the devil don't hurt you near as much as you do. I found out for myself. Things I can do that hurt me. And see, we need to get a hold of this. We have been given the ministry, your ministry. In other words, don't ever tell people you don't have a ministry. You got one.
Yes, that's right.
You have the ministry of reconciliation. You're in the ministry, and you will be judged whether you did your ministry. You will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ whether you did your ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. This is what we got. And I'm going to tell you what, it is the most incredible, incredible ministry, the message. Listen to this, verse 19. Now this is this message. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. God was in, what did He do? God reconciled Himself to the entire world. God reconciled Himself, in other words, the entire world. And God is not imputing, or He is not holding against sinners their sin.
Amen.
How often do you ever hear that preached? You know why you got to confess your sin to get saved? Because God's holding your sin against you. That's the message of the church. We're supposed to tell them, say, you know, God's, you know how much God loves you?
Amen.
He's not holding any sin against you. He's not holding your sin against you. Mm-hmm. So you got a sin problem, you know what? He ain't holding that over your head.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is reconciled to man. He's reconciled to everybody out here today. The people that maybe you don't like and they do the things and you hate about this nation and people that are doing stuff, I'm sorry, God's not holding sin against you. Whether you like it or not, He don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He reconciled Himself to them. God's not their enemy. He's not working against them. God's not doing that. God's not holding things against them. See, the whole time, I lived for 30 years. God, you know what? I was raised in a religious church. And surely God was holding everything against you. So what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You had to be gun shy around God, you know? Yeah, you carried a gun. That was to shoot yourself in case he tried to get near you. Because it's too painful to be around him, you know? I mean, think about this world today. All the ugliness. Did you ever think about, you know, like with Adolf Hitler, God wasn't holding his sin against him. I'm going to tell you what, you'd be lucky you get 2% of the church to believe that. God wasn't holding his sin against him. God's salvation was to him just as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
God wasn't accounting it to him. God was reconciled to him. God wasn't his enemy. See, this sounds like a foreign thing, don't it? Because the church, these words are so gracious. People talk about grace, and yet the church's foundation isn't even on grace. This is so gracious.
Amen.
Oh, well, they'll just want to go off and sin. No. God, you read the whole message and you find out what this is about. But He's committed. Then He said He committed to us the word of reconciliation. Well, what's the word of reconciliation? God's not holding sin against you. You know, you're ugly and you might even treat me ugly. But you know, God's not holding your sin against you. God's not holding against you. It's phenomenal. Everybody being born today into this earth, whether how long they live in this earth, God's not holding sin against them. He's not holding against them. If we got over here and grabbed a hold of this. Now, in verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So we're an ambassador. And that term, if we'd have like ambassadors to nation, in other words, we're here in the earth, it's like we do, like our president has people in other nations that they sent. What they do is they represent the president. They represent his administration and what he wants to do in that nation. Well, this is what we are here. What God wants to do in this earth, we're his representative. You are an ambassador whether you like it or not. You're an ambassador.
Amen.
Now, that ambassador is supposed to be conveying into this earth heaven's plan and purpose. This is what we convey here. In other words, The message to the earth from our Heavenly Father is He's not holding sin against man. That's what the ambassador should be telling the sinner.
Amen.
Now let me just say, this is one thing the Lord brought to me concerning the areas of healing. And He said this. Of course, one thing that I have seen over the years of being around, whether you get around crusades dealing with healing, with deliverance and healing, people, sinners getting saved, is this. God heals sinners at a drop of a hat. And one of the reasons He does is the fact of He wants to prove to them something. And we need to understand this. What He wants to prove that to them that the gospel is true. Now, there are some ministries that had greater in this area of getting people hooked up, getting people healed, is one of the things because they preach a better gospel. They preach a better gospel. And the Lord showed me this. He said, the church needs to do this. That God's not holding sin against the sinner. And you know what? He said, tell them you'll prove it to them. Lay hands on them and I'll heal them. Mm-hmm. I'll prove. See, God will always want to prove something to the sinner. Mm-hmm. See, we just go, we want people to accept a message with nothing in it. That's like walking up to me and telling me to invest in something and you don't even show me what they're here and nobody's ever made a nickel out of it, but you don't tell me that. We don't know if anybody has got anything or anybody's doing anything. God wants to prove things out. This is one thing, is I've learned the crusade type things. God always demonstrates Himself. Why is He doing? He's out there flaunting Himself in front of everybody. Why? Because He wants to prove that it's true. You know, when I got saved, God did so many marvelous, wonderful things to me. He's just proven to Ed, man, this thing you got into, it's a big deal. Now, I was wonderful. I had a good teacher that had me an expectation that God wanted to do good things. Most people, see, when you come in and you're just trying to confess your sin and you're just trying to get God to like you, you ain't expecting Him to do anything but slap you every once in a while. you're on this get-by thing, you know. We're just trying to, you know, most Christians live their in and out of their lives. They're just trying to keep God happy. You know, I want to be pleasing to God. Hey, He saved you and you were a scumbag. You weren't even pleasing at all. If He's not holding sin against the world, what kind of God do we have? What's He like? My God, He must be fantastic. Hallelujah. He's not out to get us. He's out to bless us.
Amen.
And get this in our mind. What we preach to people, you know, God wants to prove it out. That's why He said we lay hands on the sick and they recover. What was it? You know, this is one of the things. These signs follow them that believe. And most Christians never do it or never will do it. They'll live and die and never do it.
Amen. Come on.
Because they don't expect anything to ever much happen. They don't expect it. And, you know, that was nice of the apostles of them back there. And that's, if God proved Himself in the beginning, why wouldn't He be doing it now? Because then it is, I can just say this, God changed and so we can throw the Bibles away. It's a bunch of junk. It's not a bunch of junk. It's true.
Amen.
The problem again is on our side. We preach weak gospel. We get weak things out.
Yes. Amen. That's correct.
But see, we need to tell the world the truth about God. Yes. We need to tell the truth. You know, you've got a sin problem and God is so mad at you, He's not even holding any against you. See, did you know that? God's not holding any of your sin against you. Can you imagine? Now, I know that I'd make a lot of Christians nervous going around saying, no. Well, I don't. God ain't going to let them get off the hook. I'm sorry, God put everybody off the hook. Those same people don't realize they weren't on the hook, but they were taught they were. They're just a fish on the line and can't get off. That's all they are. There's no freedom in what they're doing. Hallelujah. God was in Christ, reconciling the world Himself. He's committed to us this ministry. Now listen. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. I like in Weymouth's translation, he says that God is speaking through our lips. That God is speaking through. God is talking through our lips. We have the ministry of reconciliation and God's talking through our lips. And then we say this to the sinner, We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God or the sinner. Now, God's reconciled to you. You need to get reconciled to Him.
Amen.
You got to lay down the enemy thing. Now, God has a supernatural way to do it. They get born again, He'll make them a changed person. They'll like Him. Say, well, I don't know if I can love God. Well, except Jesus, you will. See, we have a supernatural gospel that is, and only preached a natural man's gospel. One that meets the working thought of man. We called it grace, but it wasn't grace. Because grace is an explosive power that transformed natural men into God men. That's what it does. You're God people. That's what you are. Whether you live it out or not, whether you know it or not, it's still the truth. It is. Hallelujah. This is your nature. You've been made after His kind. He's put you in this earth and He's anointed you. He's given you His message. What good would His message be if He doesn't back it up? It would be a worthless message. It's of no good. See, I never met anybody in my life who believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed Jesus as Lord and didn't get saved. Never one. And it'll never happen in the face of the earth. It will never take place. It will always work. Why? It's the Word of God. The reason we have people come along today and the way things go is because truth isn't preached. We're preaching things. And you know what? It's a shame what the church has done to people. It's a shame. We've made people religious. And you know what? Now it's hard to reach them. We've convinced them they're okay when they weren't. We've convinced them about false messages, telling them false things. See, when I got changed, I got this natural desire was in me. Why? It was in this new being, this new creation. It's the natural of desire of this new creation to want to go after God. It's natural. That's why when I see somebody say they accepted Christ and they've never had this natural desire, they've never wanted to. Like one, you know, minister here in a local town said, we reached 100 people. I said, how many have come to church? Not a one. I said, nobody had a desire to follow God. I'll guarantee you what they did. I knew what they did. Went around asking Jesus into your heart and going through all this kind of stuff and doing these kind of things. When I got saved, see, we want to preach to people. It isn't how many we can get to say some prayer. It's not what this thing's about.
Come on.
We've lost this whole thing. See, we've gotten away from this whole thing of what this thing's about. And we're just, let's just be the quick. We got to create. I remember back in the 90s, they started in this thing about going out and reaching people for Jesus. And we got to get people in as quick as we can. Jesus is coming back. We got to get as many people to pray to God. Pray as we can. We got to just... And it was nothing but a bunch of junk. God don't operate like... You know, nothing ever changes with God. People need to hear the gospel. They need to believe in their heart. They need to be a commission in their heart to get saved. Those things have to happen. Or I don't care how your fast thing is that you have, that you do. All it is you and the devil working together to do a religious thing.
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. Preach.
People still need to hear the gospel. And you know what? Many people are going to hear the gospel, and the first time they ain't going to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Second time they may not like it. What we do is, we're not how many people we can get to pray. It's we can preach gospel, tell people the truth.
That's right.
God's the one that works. God saves. It never saved anybody. I never saved no one. God saves them. We're called to preach. We have the gospel of reconciliation. What's our message? The important thing about salvation is the message.
Amen.
Why would God anoint people, as in Romans tells us, to preach the gospel? How can they get saved unless we preach? I would think the preaching's first, not the prayer.
Amen.
We do nothing but focus on the prayer. Focus on the prayer with a lousy message.
Come on.
The prayer, 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 prayer. Let's get people to pray the prayer.
That's right.
That's not what's first. The gospel's first.
Amen. Come on.
We're ambassadors to preach, to tell people something.
Hallelujah.
And it is so gracious, my God, it's phenomenal, to tell the sinner You know, God's reconciled to you. Do you want to be reconciled to God? See, tell him. You know, God reconciled himself to you. He's not holding your sin against you. That's what Jesus is all about. You know, we stayed at the cross instead of going to the grace.
Amen.
No. When he came out of that tomb, everything changed. God ain't holding nothing against anybody.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the time I was a child, on up through going to church, man, you know, you snuck around God. You didn't, you know. It wasn't God not holding something against you. You had to watch it, you know. Jesus is going to come back and kill them all, you know. Now, it sounds funny to you, but I heard that kind of preaching, that stuff going on. And you know what? I was a kid, I'd have nightmares. But Jesus coming back and the earth just burning in fire and all this kind of stuff. And then they'd say, God loves you. And I'd say, shh, God loves you. He's a sick pervert. When I was 11 years old, I asked my parents. They said, do you want to go to heaven? I said, no. Well, that really shocked them. You have religious people, you tell them you want to go to heaven. I said, what makes you think God ain't good to you here and he's going to be nice to you there? They didn't have an answer. They just got mad. Because I'm sorry, that's not in our message. You're going to find this out when you get to heaven. You got to heaven because of Jesus. That's what you're going to find out. It wasn't you at all. You're going to find out, my God, it was Jesus. God didn't Jesus. God loved us through his Son.
Amen.
He didn't tell you he loved you. He proved it. He sent his Son.
Yes. Amen. Thank you,
do you
Lord.
Think he changes on this side of the preaching? You just tell people a message? No, Jesus came with a message, but he proved it.
Amen.
Why? Jesus said, I don't do anything the Father don't do. How could Jesus tell us to go lay hands on the sick and it wasn't going to work? How on earth could he tell us to do that?
Mm-hmm.
How on earth? Why? It's to prove that the message is true.
Amen.
If the message of God sending Jesus was proved out through Jesus, well then therefore, how could the message be handed us and it's this dead thing?
Come on.
It's this dead, well, you got your sins forgiven. They were doing that good under the law.
Amen.
See, we got this glory. This glory on this side.
Lord.
The great gospel. Verse 20 there says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf be reconciled to God. God's imploring us. This thing, God loves you. He's not your enemy.
Amen.
God's not holding your sin against you. Phenomenal thing. God ain't mad at you.
Amen.
I mean, if God wanted to get mad at somebody, he'd be mad at a lot of Christians. For telling lies about his gospel. Say, no, his gospel is so gracious.
Amen.
Say, God gave the world grace. And they can't see the grace because it's not preached to them. How do they believe in grace that's not given? How do they believe in it? Again. See, I hope you see this today. I hope you're getting revelation on this thing, on this. Because this is such a glorious, gracious, loving gospel. It is. It makes you just stop with God and say, oh, you know, can you imagine this being that is totally internal, eternal? I mean, he's always existence. He never did. He starts sometime. And you know, there's nothing, and this God, this one has made everything that we see and all that man thinks he knows and he ain't got a brain in his head. And we think we're just so smart. That God, in that position, said, you know what? I ain't going to hold anything against these people down here. I'm going to send my Son. You know what? He looked down at man and says, man, you messed this whole thing up. You guys messed this. You made a mess of everything down here. And you know what I'm going to do about it? I'm going to send my Son just so I can like all of you. Just so I don't have to hold anything against you. He didn't say, you know what? I'm making the lake of fire to get you over there because I'm tired of your junk. Bible says that's for the devil and his angels. It was never for any human being. Why? This is what's for human being. God ain't holding nothing against you. Now, see, people can pervert that and say, well, if God loves everybody, hold it, then everybody's going to go to heaven. But see, they don't read out the rest of it. See, I'm had to become reconciled to God. I did that how? Through the new birth. I become reconciled. I come to God and say, you know what? I don't want to be God's enemy anymore. You know what? You know what? There's a lot of people. I'm going to tell you. I've run into many Christians over there, and they're holding things against God. Christians are. Things didn't turn out with their gospel, and they're mad at God. Things didn't turn out for them because of their flaky gospel, and they're mad at God. It's like, God, you got to do my gospel. Well, no, you need to get to know. If you do, this one thing, as soon as I know how to line up with the Word and get in with it, I can get God's blessing.
Amen.
It's just as soon as you learn out how to do it, what you got to do, you know, you can't do well. I thought 2 and 2 was 7. Well, good luck. It don't work. You'll have to find out 2 and 2 is 4. It'll work for you.
Amen.
And so, if you do it, getting the right knowledge. This is what we want to do, is we want to have the right knowledge.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look over in Romans 10th chapter, because we talk about coming to Christ. And let me just, we want to look at this, because what do we convey, what we're conveying? God. We need to tell people. Now, God's not your enemy, but you're an enemy of God. Well, a person say, well, I'm not an enemy of God. Yeah, because of your nature, you are. You tell them, see, they've got a problem. You have a sin nature. Your nature is sin. That's what it is. God's not holding against you, but this thing, you can't hook up with God. You can't hook up with Him. Why? Because you're two different species. God is a separate species than man is. Man is Lord of Satan. Under sin. Satan's his Lord. When I was a sinner, before I got saved, Satan was my Lord. Sin dominated and ruled me. I couldn't hook up with God. Even though God's not holding anything against Ed, it can't hook up with God. Why? We can't fellowship. Why? You know, it is no different than this that you talk about, you know, a human and a chicken. You know, how much fellowship are you going to have together? What is it? You're talking about two different species. You can't communicate. I'm sure there's weirdos out here who think they can. I'm sure there's people out here all messed up and they think, you know, all kind of stuff. But, you know, if you go over and watch National Geographic, you know, that you'll probably find out that they do, that all these things are, you know, we're just all hooked up together, and animals think and talk just like people do, and yet same, you know, stuff. And, you know, dolphins are smarter than humans. Do you know that? Oh, yeah. You go visit their colleges and go see their medical facilities and stuff. You'll see how great intelligence they got. But they say these stupid things. We have people, they go to, send our children to colleges to teach us stuff. My God. You know, go in debt to become dumber than you are. So now you're dumb and you got to pay off a debt. You can't earn enough money to do it because you're dumb. Well, hey, do you really realize how many people have college degrees out here? What's all this that student loans and stuff don't get paid? It's because they don't make no money.
Right.
Toilet paper is more valuable than most diplomas. It has a use anyhow. we're in a weird situation. In Romans 10 verse 8 says, but what does it say? It says the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. It says that is the word of faith which we preach. Now I want to say this. See, we go on to the rest of this, but let's stop right here. What's the word being preached? What is the word in the mouth preached? A lot of bad word went out of the mouth, called it the gospel. A lot of bad word. Not God word. Man's word. It's in your mouth and your heart. See, that's why, you know, if I want to look at these revelations, I got to look in here like the Pauline epistles. If you really want to understand a lot about from a salvation standpoint, read Paul's epistles. It's the revelation. We've been reading out of Paul's stuff here. This is Paul's stuff. This revelation that he had. It's the word of faith which we preach. See, we can tell people, you know, tell people Jesus. See, Jesus took your sin. The reason God is reconciled, we can tell a sinner the reason God reconciled you, because when he put Jesus on that cross, he put your sin on Jesus. Amen. And Jesus paid the penalty for your sin.
Amen.
You understand this about God. Nobody gets off free. You maybe got salvation free, but the judgment had to be carried out against your sin.
Yep. Amen.
There is no thing of, well, you're not, you know, we call Jesus, God didn't call you not guilty. You're guilty of sin. God just carried out the judgment against you on Jesus. Jesus went and took my guilt. It had to be. God doesn't have a system where people just go free for nothing. He couldn't do that. Why? It's unrighteous.
That's right.
That's what we have today in our criminal justice system. Unrighteousness. That is not God, neither is that Christianity, neither is it love. Somebody has to pay the price on that.
Amen. That's right.
God requires it. And if you don't, it's unjust, it's unrighteous. Always is. So God looked at you and I, and looked at our sin, and said, every one of us, we deserve the lake of fire. That's what you deserve. That's what you got coming to you. Now God turns around and He has a plan, and His plan is this. This thing's got, judgment against you got to be carried out. It has to be. There's no such thing as that judgment. No, well, I'll just love everybody and it'll be alright. No. No, it don't work that way. It's justice. God is always just. He's always righteous. So He took His righteous Son and turned Him in to sin through our sin. And He went and paid the penalty. The judgment of our eternal sin fell upon Him. And that's why God could turn around to man and say, okay, justice was carried out against what you did. You say, well, you know, Jesus had to carry it. That's what makes this thing so wonderful.
Amen.
This is why people, you know, it'd be easy to love if we ever told the truth. It'd be easy. Say, God did that for me. Say, God's not against you. He did that. Well, we told sinners how good God was.
Yes.
Amen. So you deserve the judgment. And you know, instead of Him judging you, He judged Jesus. God Himself stepped into the earth and said, I'm going to carry the judgment of humanity. I'm going to do it to win the people back. To get them out of Satan's hand. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to win everybody back. People are in hell today that were won back. There's people in hell today because of the church. And their weenie gospel. Not telling the power. This gospel is so phenomenal. It is so. If you can't like Jesus when you understand the gospel, you ain't got much ever going to go on in your head. I mean, you ain't, it's just, this is God's phenomenal. Of what was deserving to us and what He did. He did all this. You didn't lift your finger once, anything, to have any of this done. Not one. There's not one wonderful thing or one good thing that you've done at all. Nothing. None of us have done anything good. It's phenomenal. You talk about love.
Amen.
You know, we look today as everything comes with a price. They say salvation is free. Well, it has to be. There's no way we could pay it. There's an impossibility for us to pay it because we couldn't deal with our sin problem. Because if I got carried off for eternity in the lake of fire, which this sentence was, you need to understand this. You need to tell every sinner, talk about, you need to tell every sinner the judgment's already set on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's already set. The Bible tells it. We'll read about these things then, not today. The judgment's already set. When I was a sinner, there's a judgment set against me. There isn't one day. Then God's going to say, well, you're going to send off the lake of fire. No, the judgment's already set on me. Every sinner, their judgment's already set. God's not their enemy. God's saying, hey, I ain't holding nothing against you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be reconciled to God. You got to be changed. In your condition, you can't hook up with God. Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, you hook on my Son, the one who paid the punishment for all your judgment, and it's cleared. But how does it get cleared? The old man can't get cleared.
Mm-hmm.
The old man's dead in sin. The only thing that's on him is judgment. He can't get it cleared. That's why men must be born again. You couldn't get saved by confessing sin. You've got to get born again. Because that's the only way you get this clear. That dead man. The dead man that I was, could not, I don't care what I did, that dead man wasn't going to get to heaven. I had to become a changed person. I had to change the nature of what I was to become like the nature of God. Mm-hmm. That's what you did. That's what happened to you. That old nature, it's gone. It's dead. That's, say, well, where did the old man go to? I don't know, don't care. Ain't trying to find him.
Amen.
He was nothing but trouble when I had him. What would I be looking for him for? I became a new creation. God turns you into a completely righteous being. As righteous as God Himself. As holy as God Himself. As pure as God Himself. Well, we don't preach that one. No, you got to learn to clean up your life so you can get into this position. No, that's your position. What do you ever do? But see, if we don't talk, if you don't talk like you're righteous, if you don't talk like you're holy, don't be surprised you never lived there or ever go there.
Amen. Come on.
The power of this confession of what God has made you. God gave us gracious words, but that's not what we're speaking. We're not speaking the gracious words. Amen. We're speaking man's ideas, man's principles, man's thinking. See, when I talk about this stuff, my mind wants to go tilt. My heart loves it. My heart just enjoys talking about how good God is. It just, but my mind's like, whoo, this seems flaky. See, how could this be? But you know what? My mind just had to shut up. I don't care if I can understand it. The Bible said it's true, and I want you to understand this. You will never have any strong faith till you decide the word's true and what you think don't matter. It just don't matter what you think. The power in this thing is believing the word is true and my mind trying to understand. Because I'll tell you, there's things like this that I look at and say, this is almost seems impossible. This is definitely Alice in Wonderland. You know, this is a rabbit with a clock. You know, and some mad hatter having a tea party. It seems crazy. Nothing's make any sense. But it doesn't matter. It's the truth. And there's one thing as I look, you know, you go to the sinners with the truth, you get them healed, and they don't care if your story sounds crazy. They'll love it.
Amen.
They'll look at this thing and say, my God, is He great. My God, is He wonderful. And see, we need to come to this. We need to come to this place. What's this message that's in our heart and our mouth? What is this message? The word of faith we preach. If we confess with our mouth, what is it? Confession. What are they going to confess? They're going to confess what you preach, whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, they're going to confess your preaching. This is why, coming into all this, you tell them how good God is. And you tell him the position he put. Tell him he's going to change your life. You ain't going to be the same person anymore. How many times do we tell a person, come, you're going to become a new creation?
Amen.
You see, I heard that. I was going to be a different person. So you know what? That was my expectation. I was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't. I got my sins forgiven. Oh, good luck.
That's right.
I became a changed person without the sin nature.
Amen.
Who would have ever thunk it?
Hallelujah.
It's like, my God. I'm serious. When I got saved, I just wondered about myself. Because in me, is the whole thing is, I lived as an alcoholic and driven. And I was driven. And all of a sudden, that stopped. You know, it's like driving down. I noticed it a lot. Because, you know, it's like driving down the road at 90 miles an hour and just nailing the brakes. You sort of notice that the motion's stopping. You know, your face is up on the windshield. And you're just, you know, you just sort of know. That's what I felt like. It's like, what has happened to me? I found myself as like, man, honest, what drove me, I'm not driven anymore. I wasn't driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I couldn't explain it, but one thing I know, the Bible explained it. I'm a new creation. I really was. I became a new creation. See, we got to give expectation to the sinner. Something supernatural is going to happen in your life.
That's right.
This is not a natural thing. This isn't an I love Jesus moment. This is Jesus is so darn phenomenal. I can't even imagine how great I ought to have a love toward Him. Wow! He's so incredible what He's done. And we need to bring people to this. So you having trouble overcoming? Like with me. I talked to the Lord before I got saved. I said, I cannot imagine me not drinking. I couldn't imagine. You know, I couldn't see any point going down some place and say, I wanted to quit. I couldn't even see in myself quitting. I was driven. Mm-hmm. There was only one way to stop. And I needed to change life. I needed to become a different person. I could not see in me to do that. I couldn't see myself in doing that. And when I came to Christ, I got born again. The driving stopped. Why? Because I became a different person.
Amen.
But see, I had the expectation of a changed life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the expectation, Ed, your sins are forgiven. They were forgiven before I was ever born.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever told me that. God was holding it against me. Did we ever tell people the sinner? You know, your sins are forgiven. No, we tell them, no, you need to ask Jesus. You know what you need to tell them to do? You need to tell them, say, you know, thank Jesus for taking your sin.
Amen.
Thank Him that He did that for
Amen.
You. Before you were ever born, thank Him that what He did for you.
Mm-hmm.
He took your sin before you. Man, the people in the Old Testament would have loved to have that preached to them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament, we're preaching Old Testament salvation. No, we have such a powerful, powerful hallelujah. The word that we pray, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, God raised Him from the dead, we would be saved. Why should it be complicated? It shouldn't be. Everybody wants to make it a it's nothing complicated about it because it has no need to be. All you're doing is recognizing the One who delivered you.
Amen.
This is what God, on that cross, Jesus, He raised Him. When He was raised from the dead, all my sins were forgiven. All my past was gone. God was holding nothing against me. Oh, am I glad, God, You raised Jesus from the dead. And then Jesus, really, literally, it should be, we should tell people to confess Jesus as their Lord.
Yes.
Say, tell people, you know, you have a Lord whether you like it or not. You
Amen.
Can pick this one up.
Amen.
This one's the owner of this God not holding sin against you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just stay with the same guy you've been with.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But you've got to be reconciled with God. And the only way to reconcile with God is Jesus Christ. That's it.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what. He already proved He loves you.
Amen.
He'll deliver you. You know, if you ain't feeling good, I'll lay hands on your head. And mm-hmm. You're going to recover. That's what's going to happen to you. But God will do that. God will do that for you. Why? Because He loves you. And He's going to prove it to you.
Amen.
He ain't a God. He ain't, you know, that's one thing I like about God. He ain't all talk.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
He does it.
Amen.
He'll bring deliverance. Hallelujah. And so we have that wonder. What a gospel we have preached. Look at it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you imagine the power of what we are to confess to be born again? Saying words causes the greatest miracle. There's not a greater miracle ever took place on the face of the earth than a person getting born again. There's no healings or anything like that ever happened. Nothing. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament. It says God with His fingers, He put the stars out there. His creation was His fingers, His hands. Bible tells us. It said it was the arm of His salvation that saved man. God used His arm. The most powerful thing God did. Salvation. The most powerful thing He did. He took Jesus Christ, who had the entire sin of the world, and raised Him from the dead. Took Him from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's why you can. If Jesus was not raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, you could not be raised. You're raised because He was. Therefore, anybody following after, and God makes this wild thing. If you just believe on Him, what happened to Him is going to happen to you, and you don't even have to go to hell.
Amen.
You don't have to pay any penalty. This is what we call definitely free. This is a better reconciliation than you've ever heard of anything in your life.
Amen.
You're guilty of everything, but you ain't going to pay the penalty of none of it.
Amen.
According to the law, to break one law, you're guilty of breaking it all.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's many Christians, well, I wasn't as bad as Adolf Hitler. You're worse because you're full of pride. No, we were guilty of it all. And Jesus, out of His great love, think about it, out of His great love, He came and did that. So you and I could call on Him. And we didn't have to face any of the judgment, yet we could have His raised from the dead.
Amen.
The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now living in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My God. Amen. Woo! What a salvation.
Yes.
Amen.
What a salvation. This is our... See, that you've Kirk said it. Our gospel is better than it's preached.
Amen.
It is. It's much better than it's preached.
Yes.
It's more glorious. It is so supernatural. We need to bring the supernatural back to the gospel.
Yes.
Just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People, it's become a nothing anymore. Why? Because it's not supernatural anymore. We've taken... And I'll get to fill the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues. We don't even know what it's even for anymore. We just have this little fairy tale stuff we tell. Just another step in our little goal to something or other. It's all about power.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's about using our tongue to change the world.
Yes.
Our tongue changing the world. My tongue changed me. My tongue took me from natural to supernatural.
Amen.
And it works that way all the time. It never stops.
Amen.
It took me from sickness to health. See, I became a changed being. You know, the nature of sin, sickness and disease is normal in the nature of sin. It is not normal in the nature of God.
Amen.
See, we don't preach these things. Why? You can't remove sin and not its effects.
That's right.
Because if the effects are still there, the sin's still there.
That's
right. But see, we have a gospel of sin. So we preach gospel of sin. So the effects stay there. Say, no, no. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? Sin was taken away.
Yes.
So the effects of the curse can't come because why? See, well, they're not mine. The only way they're here, people have them. Why? Their confession. They're saying. They're talking. See, we need to understand. This is a powerful thing. If we first, the basis of Christianity in its supernatural is to understand how supernatural you were made.
Amen.
Not this from the beginning. And the guy in the beginning in the garden sin. The great creation happened when Jesus raised from the dead.
Amen.
You want to talk about a creation. Now let's talk about that one.
Amen.
No, the church goes keeps running back there to the guy that died in the garden.
Yep.
No, I'm going to tell you what. God didn't put me back to where Adam was. He took me a place
Amen.
Far beyond where Adam ever was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He took you there. He put you in this place. Yes. Hallelujah. Adam never had the dominion like the church does.
Yes.
The church stands in a place of glory. Hallelujah. One with God. Adam wasn't seated in heavenly places. You are. Hallelujah. Adam, one sin and he fell. You and I missed the mark. Did we fall?
No.
Sounds like we didn't end up back where Adam was.
Nope.
Thank God!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if anything this morning, I hope you enjoyed the gospel.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
It's a phenomenal, supernatural thing.
Praise God.
Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about it. We're going to tell people something. We shouldn't be just a fast... We're taking these glorious words of God and telling them to people. What is it good? We're not just trying to memorize a thing. This is a thing of life. This is the glory of God.
Amen.
Saying God loves you. Well, you can talk to him. Well, what did he do? Well, he forgave your sin. Well, wasn't that a biggie? See, it's far beyond that. The new birth is far beyond what we call. We have forgiveness of sin in it. But it is this much of it.
Yes.
And we've made it that much of it. And this much of the supernatural and the changed person. And we talk about a good God. We don't know what it is, the goodness of God. We should just be so full of His goodness. My God, He's so good.
Amen.
See, you know, God loves you, and this is how He loves you. Tell them how He loved. Because today, people don't know what love's about. They have no clue what love's about.
That's right.
They get married for love and divorce the next day.
Come on.
They go through things of love. They love ice cream, and they love their wife, and they love their husband. Yeah. You know, they're on the same level. Most of them like the ice cream better. Yeah. You know, they put stickers of their animals all over their car and that stuff. And they got their stickers all over everything and all their animals, their stuff and everything else they love. And, you know, but it is. It's like, no, what people really love, and people have no idea what love is. They don't even care. They don't. That's why we need to preach the true gospel, because this love is beyond any love that anybody else has ever experienced or ever done. And so, you and I have a ministry. And you know what? It's absolutely gracious words.
Amen.
It is gracious words.
Amen.
Gracious words. It's not just, it's not a phrase, God loved you. It needs to be explained. Mm-hmm. This love, there's nothing compared to it.
Amen.
There's nothing in it. This is why when we just use that one word, love, we don't realize. We just, you know, if people ever explain to somebody else concerning love, you know, is one thing is people should make certain commitments themselves in marriage. Because just saying love ain't enough. Because that word's not enough. Because everybody has their own idea of what love is. God is committed to this love toward every being in the earth. 100% committed. There's not one person He would cut it short on. No matter what they did or what they've done, He's willing to save. He's willing. He said, I'm reconciled. Just no matter what you've done, you can reconcile yourself to Me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you've done. No matter how ugly. Why? Because the man is going to end up dead that did it. He's going to be gone. You're going to become a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. It is amazing. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. See, now we taught these things, but you need to see what... You are this person that's been redeemed. You are this one. Hallelujah. That's what you and I are.
Amen.
We've been made into this.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. See, I want you to think about it. When we deal in the areas, this is why, if you understand these things, healing is just a natural thing to the realm of the Spirit. And I'm talking about God's kingdom. It's not something we're trying to accomplish or get to. It just is natural.
Mm-hmm.
See, we think of something we're working for. We're trying to... No, that's not what we're doing. It's part of this hooking up with God. How can you be hooked up to God and He wants you in this earth under the curse of the law? Wants you under all this stuff, and wants you it doesn't even make any sense. Somebody that's holding nothing against me, the church believes, it sure acts like He does. If we believe what Mosley's preached, God, He's trying to teach me something. When I was totally ugly and didn't care, He didn't want to hold sin against me. Now He's the mean guy. Now He's trying to beat me over the head to get me to teach me something. He's treating me like I'm an idiot. Well, I am. But He turned me into something glorious that can understand Him, that can hook up with Him, and literally fellowship with Him. We're not a dog that He pets by the throne. We're not this low crawling thing up there. We're seated.
Hallelujah.
We're seated. That's why we come boldly to the throne of grace. We're not sneaking. When you miss it, you come boldly.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
No, people, this is Christianity today. It's the dog with the tail between his legs.
Yeah.
You know, he's messed up because the master's yelling all the time.
Yeah.
You know? Let it come and he's going to slap me. But see, this is Christianity. And it's not this freedom. It's not this God loves me. God cares for me. Anybody wants, God wants to fellowship with it. See, we get over in the natural. Sometimes we want to fellowship with ourselves. That's because we look at ourselves in the flesh. We lose ourselves of who we really are because we keep looking in the mirror of life.
Yep.
Keep looking in the mirror of life. And we got this beautiful mirror, and we don't look at ourselves in this. We look at ourselves in all of our mistakes and all of our things. Man, when I was a sinner and every mistake in the world was held against me, He didn't hold it against me. Has He changed? That's why when you confess your sin as a Christian, He is so faithful and just to forgive. Because, you know, He don't want to hold nothing against anybody, and He don't want you holding it against you. You know why we confess those things? Because of us. We break fellowship. He don't. He never sinned to break fellowship. Never happened. It's about us. His longing to fellowship with us. You sin, your conscience bothers you, and I'm going to tell you what it does. It immediately starts to weaken your faith. And you can't have confidence toward Him. It's about you. It's about me. That's why you have to understand when you confess your sin. We're going to talk about this, confessing sin. You got to come to the place. You got to learn to forgive you, because if you don't, you're always going to be weak in faith. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You got to come and get to the point where you have enough faith to accept that. Mm-hmm. People don't accept it. If the Word says He forgives you, that's the last word on it for Him. You go back again, you make Him a liar. When you go back and like, well, you know, I know I messed up. And I did. Don't make Him a liar. He said He forgave. But if you turn Him into a liar, you do it to yourself, not to Him. You turn it to yourself. I can't trust Him. Maybe He didn't forgive me. I still feel bad, and I know my feelings are more important than the Word of God. My feelings are stronger than God's Word. I feel bad. No, when you ask God to forgive you, you ought to get up and do a little jig and say, my God, His Word's true. He actually did. He actually did it! Woo! Go take a running spell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what happens? People ask God to forgive them, and this is the first thing they don't do. They never stop and say, thank you because you forgave me. You're not holding that against me anymore, and I'm not holding. Say it with your mouth. I'm not going to hold this against me. We don't. We don't say nothing. And so nothing takes place. Your words are going to put you over. Whether you say something, the wrong thing, even if you say nothing, you might be as in bad shape as saying the wrong thing. Say the right thing.
Come on.
He forgave me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Thank
to God. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I'm just as righteous, hallelujah, and pure. Glory to God.
Lord.
And you say, well, you don't look it. Well, I'll tell you what, you ain't seen my mirror yet. I looked in mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Quit looking in the mirror of life. Look into the mirror of the Word, and I'll tell you what, it's full of glory.
Praise God.
See yourself in the glory that He made you.
Hallelujah.
Father, I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you for life today that's working in us. I thank you, Lord God, you made us into supernatural beings that are absolutely phenomenal. Hallelujah. Lord God, is the fact that you made us temples, your temples, so you could come and live in us. Wow. That's an absolutely incredible thing. Father, It is so incredible. To the natural mind, it seems strange, and people look in the natural. But Father God, we're looking into Your Word, and Your Word is true. And I want to thank You that that supernatural life, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is in there. He's our teacher. He guides us and leads us into the truth. He takes what belongs to You, Jesus, and He shows it to us. But also He's making our mortal bodies alive. Even bringing my mortal body into line with Your Word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease, you can't live in. You can't live and house yourself. This is no permanent dwelling for you. This isn't, because there's life working in us. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Our bodies have resurrection in them. Sickness and disease, we put you on notification in the name of Jesus. You cannot dominate. You cannot rule. We will not allow it. We will not defile the work of God in us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. we will let the life of God work freely in us, in our minds, hallelujah, in our spirits, hallelujah, in our bodies, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is glorified in us. Jesus is magnified in us, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We want to thank you for that glory that's on the inside of us is shining glory to the outside. Hallelujah. Lord God, we are more just than a lamp on a hill. Hallelujah. We are a bright light shining the glory of God on the hill of the lives of this world. Hallelujah. That men see the glory of Jesus Christ in the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Just use your voice to put you over and to put others over. That's Amen. What we do. It puts us over, but it puts others. Speaking the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what, it might seem astounding to people. You're going to say things to people that many people haven't heard, even Christians haven't heard. And you're going to say things to them, and they're going to be sounding so gracious, and they should. If they sound different than what most people hear, it must be God talking. Because most people don't hear what God's talking. They're never taught really gracious words. They're not gracious enough. They're not good enough. Hallelujah. God is full of mercy, and He's full of grace. Hallelujah. For He's good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Blessings. Have a glorious day.
Man, see you Wednesday, sir.